Three Dog Thursday on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. Winning season continues at MyBookie, and now they're offering a free $20 bet with the promo code SGP20. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP20 to get a free $20 bet with your first deposit. We're also brought to you in part by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new daily fantasy sports app built specifically for player props. Download the app in the App Store and use the promo code SGP for instant deposit matches up to $50. That's ThriveFantasy.com, promo code SGP. Sign up and prop up today. And we're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay-per-head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sports book. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. Finally, don't forget to sign up for the Free Roll Football Contest, where we're giving away up to $5,000 for the best NFL handicappers this season. Sign up for free today. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/contest. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/contest.
Football fans, it's time to go on the record for this week's matchups. Pro and college football with just one catch. We're only interested in underdogs. Who can keep it close, if not pull the outright upset? Time to find out. It's Three Dog Thursday. Now here's your host, TJ Reeves.
Yes, 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 we are back for another edition of the only digital radio show that focuses in on those underdogs in college football and the NFL. It is Locktober, the second week of Locktober. Now, last week, we were able to come through with three of them. My thanks to Colby Dant of the College Experience Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows. Colby came through for you if you listened on this show, not only with the Charlotte 49ers, UNC Charlotte out of college football, but also the South Carolina Gamecocks. He went in the Carolinas for both picks in college. Both came through as underdog winners on this show. I also gave you the Boston College Eagles as well, the BC Eagles to cover at home with a large line against top-ranked North Carolina, one of the top 10 teams in the country. So I took BC. We gave you not one, not two, but three underdogs this week or last week. We're looking to do better than that this week on the show. By the way, however you found us via a social media link, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows, through Three Dog Thursday on Twitter, et cetera, subscribe to the show, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, subscribe, and Three Dog Thursday comes automatically to you whenever it's ready on Thursday to get off and rolling. We love the subscribers. 5-star rate us and review us in the Apple Store or on Spotify in specific. More people will be able to see us and find us. We love that. Tell more and more. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of you that have found Three Dog Thursday in the month of September and the first week in October. Keep spreading the word. Thank you, and keep spreading the word and keep subscribing. Keep propping us up here as part of the show. Going to be a busy show. Our senior handicapper, Brian Edwards, is back. Brian is rolling along in the NFL. His NFL picks will be at the end of the show. He'll talk college football straight ahead, including a very intriguing game or two in the SEC, and then, of course, the ACC has Clemson and Miami that we'll spend a lot of time on this show. So Brian has got some college underdog advice. He's got a Big 12 underdog that he really likes as well. Even the Thursday night play, he'll tell you why on Three Dog Thursday he loves the Tulane Green Wave in American Conference action. So Brian Edwards coming up straight ahead, our senior handicapper from BrianEdwardsSports.com and Vegas Insider. And then you are in for a treat. The College Football Hall of Fame coach, Barry Switzer. Love the insight of the coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, who is one of the rare guys to have college football national championships, a couple of them, and a Super Bowl title with the Dallas Cowboys. This weekend is Texas and OU. Boomer Sooner in Dallas. The Red River rivalry is already here. Can you believe that? Out of the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma, who better to talk than a man that won 9 times in the rivalry, Texas and Oklahoma, against those Longhorns. Barry Switzer will be here to tell some stories of what it's like. Yes, it's going to be weird in 2020 because the Cotton Bowl's not even half capacity. The Texas State Fair is not even taking place. The usual traditional surroundings around the Texas-Oklahoma game not happening. But Coach Switzer's here to tell some stories on the show, including, I was part of this, his surprise 70th birthday party that came just over a decade ago on the Friday night before the Texas-Oklahoma game. We almost gave him a heart attack that night. I was part of the surprise that night doing some work for SiriusXM Radio. Barry was one of our analysts. We were in on the surprise. Wait till you hear whom was around for that party on Saturday night, on Friday night before the Saturday OU-Texas game back in 2007. Look forward to hearing from Barry Switzer about all of that. Then our YouTube video roundtable is back. My buddies Chris Fisher from South Florida and the sports media in the Miami area will be here. Miami all over the brain. The state of Florida really all over the brain because the Tampa Bay Lightning have the Stanley Cup in hockey. The Tampa Bay Rays in the throes of a playoff series as we speaketh with the New York Yankees. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, oh, by the way, have won 3 in a row playing Thursday night football with the Chicago Bears. So Tampa, big right now on the sports scene. Miami as well, with the Heat in the NBA Finals, at least for one more night on Friday night against LeBron and the Lakers, who lead 3-1. But the Marlins in the playoffs as we head into Three Dog Thursday, battling the Atlanta Braves. And the Miami Hurricanes, humongous game coming with the Clemson Tigers. So Chris Fisher will have thoughts and insight on all of this out of Miami. And I will link up on the YouTube roundtable with my buddy Ari Russell, who has been with me going on almost 20 years now. SiriusXM Radio, TuneIn Radio. Love Coach Ari and his insight. He is based in the New York area, and he is a big Miami Hurricane. He's an alum of the University of Miami, so he is anxious for Canes and what kind of shot do they have as a 2-touchdown underdog at Godzilla number 1, Clemson and Trevor Lawrence, Saturday night, Death Valley. Chris and Ari and I will discuss that game at length. We'll also talk more about Rays Yankees in the playoffs. Chris Fisher has some interesting thoughts about the Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa and when we may, or in his mind, not see Tua this season for the Dolphins. As the Dolphins get ready to play the 49ers at Candlestick, does he dare take the Fins on Three Dog Thursday against those 49ers or not? So lots to talk about on our roundtable. And then Brian Edwards will be back here on the podcast to close it out. We'll talk more NFL with him. He and I go over some underdogs. Will Brian stay on the train for the Cincinnati Bengals? The Kittens are actually playing some decent football and won the game last week and have been pretty good against the numbers. So Brian will talk some NFL to close out the show. So a bunch to get to, a bunch to cover on the program. We're going to get rolling. Brian's up first talking college football. Coach Switzer is here on the podcast right in the smack dab middle of the show. YouTube roundtable, you'll hear the audio here on this podcast of Chris Fisher and Ari Russell. Go find our YouTube page to see Chris and Ari and me kick around the Miami Clemson game and the baseball playoffs and much more than Brian back talking NFL. It is all part of Three Dog Thursday. We're ready to get rolling. Let's get it all underway with more underdogs forthcoming. Here we go. He is back. It is the month of October. We didn't lock it down as much with the underdogs this past week. However, we did have 3 of them overall in college and the NFL. We're vowing to be a little bit better. He is a senior handicapper, BrianEdwardsSports.com, and also Vegas Insider with all the insight. Brian Edwards back with me, and man, things are starting to get really good across the board in college and the NFL. How are you feeling as we get ready to embark on another week of games and some more underdog predictions, sir?
I am doing well. The Gators are undefeated. The Falcons are winless, but I had the Packers Monday night, so I'm feeling wonderful.
Yeah, the Falcons, my goodness, one of many messes that are out there. Texans have already made the first coach firing of Bill O'Brien. Might the Falcons be next in the NFL? And there are a couple of other teams that might make the move as well here, just depending. The Jets with Adam Gase. Who knows? We'll see what happens in the NFL, and we'll talk much more NFL with Brian much later on in the show. I want to hone in on some college football. Before we get to the underdog selections this week, first of all, a thought or two, Alabama trouncing Texas A&M. We also saw Georgia look very impressive at home with Auburn. So those two on a collision course to play each other coming in 2 weeks in prime time. Some other college games, we saw TCU upset Texas, for example, last week. Some intriguing stuff. You mentioned Florida was a winner. They had some problems with South Carolina, but they were a winner at home. What else stood out, if anything, from last week and heading into this week now that we're in October, Brian?
Oh, last week, what stood out, LSU bouncing back, the Big 12 continuing to fall on its face with Oklahoma losing back-to-back games for the first time under Lincoln Riley, and Lane Kiffin breaking through for his first SEC win, and it looks like he has an offense because, look, Florida and Kentucky have solid defenses. It looks like he can score on anybody, and that will certainly be put to the test Saturday night at home against Nick Saban, who is 20-0 against his former assistant.
Yeah, after he trounced Jimbo last week, it's 20-20. And how about one of the stats maybe of the year in college football, Brian? I don't know if you're aware of this one. Kentucky ran for 408 yards in that game with Ole Miss at home, 408 at home, and I know it went to overtime for one extra possession, and lost the game. That's incredible what Ole Miss was able to do to overcome that and win. I want to touch on one. I stumbled into this doing some reading, and again, we do a lot of research, got all the documentation. I got my papers, I got my notes all flying around here on Three Dog Thursday. And last week, I talked about off the upset by Mississippi State, KJ Costello, Mike Leach, the mad scientist, off the upset of LSU when they had been, what was it, a 16 or 17 point underdog to win the game outright, that Leach had had this happen before at Texas Tech, where he had beaten Nebraska on the road as a 15-plus point underdog and then came back home to play pre-Johnny Manziel Texas A&M. Kevin Sumlin was there as the coach, but this is pre-Manziel. And Texas A&M upset Texas Tech in Lubbock in 09, 11 years ago. That's what happened. I'll be darned, the Southern phrase, Brian, I'll be darned if the same thing didn't happen again and Woo Pig Suey, with Sam Pittman, the first-year coach, they come in to Stark Vegas and win as, what, an 18- or 19-point underdog. Amazing how history repeated itself in the SEC there.
Yeah, and props to Barry Odom for, rushing three most of the game and just making the, you know, keeping everything underneath and just really just shutting down Mike Leach's offense. Now, I mean, you know, they had their yards, but the two fourth down plays in the fourth quarter, fourth and short, Arkansas stuffs Mississippi State. They were in field goal range for both. Obviously, I thought they should have kicked the field goal the first one. The second one, it was time you had to go for it. But, they were opportunistic. They took advantage of turnovers. They had a pick. KJ threw a pick six for the second week in a row, and Felipe Franks, 20 of 28, 212 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, most importantly. And look, as good as KJ was setting those records at LSU, he was really bad last week. Three costly interceptions, one handed Arkansas a touchdown.
And Mississippi State at Kentucky on Saturday night. Somebody's going to get well in that game, and somebody's going to be smarting, especially if it's Kentucky losing 2 weeks in a row at home to the Mississippi teams. We will see what happens on that. All right, so let's get into the games for this week with the understanding, again, we are well aware, mindful, the seriousness of Hurricane Delta, and we've gone through so many storms that they've gone through all of the names, Brian, the Atlantic. So now we're on to the Greek alphabet. So now it's Hurricane Delta that is going to impact the state of Louisiana and the Gulf South, we believe. So as Three Dog Thursday debuts on Thursday, We are unsure of all the games being played. We do know the LSU-Missouri game, Brian, was moved to Columbia, Missouri, moved from Baton Rouge to Columbia in advance of this to make sure that it can be played on Saturday, and it will be moved to earlier in the day instead of a night game. It'll now be a noon Eastern time game on Saturday. I'm going to talk about another game in a little bit when we make the picks, Brian, that could also be moved, but we've got to be mindful. There could be some things in flux here that we don't know about right now at the time that we're taping midweek.
Clearly, Joe Oliva is no longer the LSU AD because it, not over his dead body would an LSU home game have been moved to a road game.
Right.
My gosh.
Right. Yeah, I detect a whole bunch of sarcasm from a hurricane back about 3 years ago involving the Gators and LSU and that whole dispute. So LSU Missouri being moved out of the way, and we'll just be mindful of the impact here on all of this. All right, so for Three Dog Thursday, I know, speaking of New Orleans, speaking of Louisiana, you're looking squarely for underdog purposes at a New Orleans-based school on Thursday night in the Tulane Green Wave, sir.
Absolutely. They've been a little inconsistent. You know, they were trailing South Alabama. Yeah, so Tulane plus 7 to Houston at the number 6.5, by the key number of 7. You know, their opener, they were down 24-6 to South Alabama. Midway through the third, they rally. They win 27-24. The next week, they're up 24-0 on Navy. Then they get outscored 27-0 in the second half. Then against Southern Miss, they fall down 14-0 in the first quarter, and then they outscore them 66-10 the rest of the way. Mm. But part of that inconsistency was Keon Howard at quarterback. They yanked him. They went to the true freshman, Michael Pratt, and he really produced a pair of touchdown passes without an interception against Southern Miss. So he's going to be the guy moving forward. Look, Houston went 4-8 last year. They lost by double-digit margins 5 times, and they've had every single one of their games canceled because of COVID, and most of them they have been prepping all week to play. Now they finally play. They're favored. They were 1-4 against the spread as a favorite 5 times last year. They lost at Tulane 38-31. I think we've got the head coaching advantage with Fritz over Holgo, and we're getting points. I like the Green Wave.
You make a great point that Tulane has played 3 times, and Houston now in early October hasn't played at all. So, I mean, there's going to be some of this when these conferences resume, like the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the MAC, the Mountain West, where nobody's played in November. But it's not going to be that a team has not played playing a team that has played 3 times. So that is advantage Tulane in that primetime matchup on Thursday night there with the American Conference, an American Conference showdown in that one. All right, I want to give you an underdog selection of mine. I'll stay with the Sun Belt Conference and the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, who are traveling to play Louisiana, the University of Louisiana, formerly Louisiana Lafayette. Again, Hurricane Delta may affect this game. It's supposed to be 3:30 on Saturday. You may already know as you're listening to us that it somehow got moved up, postponed, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. But for right now, what I love is Coastal Carolina coming off a huge victory over Arkansas State last weekend at home, 52-23, the same Arkansas State team that won at Kansas State. Go figure, in 2020. Arkansas State pulls a huge upset with Kansas State early in the year, gets blown out. And also, by the way, the Chanticleers team dusted Kansas back in September in the opener for Kansas in a game that was not as close as the 38-23 final. Les Miles' team scored 2 late touchdowns in a game they were being beaten by 30 points in. So I like getting points here against Louisiana, both undefeated. I know you think this game may be sneaky good. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we all are, everybody stay safe, that it gets played. Coastal Carolina getting 7 right now, Brian. What do you think?
Well, they're 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 as the road underdog, and they're getting great quarterback play from Grayson McCall, 66.7 completion percentage, 728 passing yards, and a 9-1 TDINT ratio. So You know, I do like that Louisiana squad, but Battle of Unbeaten, the best under-the-radar game on the board. You get no argument from me here.
And they have won a couple of wild games. They beat Iowa State at the beginning of the year. They had to go to overtime in a game they were losing most of the way back about 3 weeks ago against Georgia State in Atlanta. They won that game in overtime 34-31 and then had to hang on last week at home to beat Georgia Southern, actually 2 weekends ago, have had the week off. Louisiana. So let's see what happens in this matchup coming here with Coastal Carolina in a Sun Belt game. All right, so we keep hitting the ball over the net like tennis. I'm going to hit it back over the net to you. You like another college underdog, and I believe you're going to the ACC here on Three Dog Thursday, Brian Edwards.
Yeah, let's go to up to the Loud House, and that would be the Carrier Dome, the revamped Carrier Dome, where Syracuse is just a better football team at home. In their last 13 games at the Carrier Dome, 10-3 straight up, 8-5 against the spread in their last six as a home underdog. Dino Babers' squad is 4-2 against the spread, and that includes a 37-20 win over Georgia Tech 2 weeks ago. And they have enjoyed an open date since then, and that gives them 2 weeks to prepare for the Blue Devils, who are off a 38-31 home loss, but that was a Virginia Tech team that was still missing Hendon Hooker, its quarterback, who had a really good season in 2019 and was also missing quite a few other players. Duke's got three major issues right now. One, it cannot stop the run. It is 60th out of 74 FBS teams in run defense. And this is a bigger sample size. Duke's played four times, 0-4 straight up. They got gashed for 324 yards on the ground by the Hokies last week. And secondly, Duke can't run it. 67th out of 74 FBS teams in rushing yards. And perhaps most importantly, they're without their two best players in the secondary, Mark Gilbert and Josh Blackwell. Gilbert was a first-team All-ACC selection in 2017 and has struggled to stay on the field health-wise since then. Now, he did play in the first two games and had an interception, but and with those two guys, Blackwell and Gilbert, they give up 27 to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to average way more than 27 this year. They give up 26 to Boston College. Since they lost these two guys, they've given up 38 apiece to Vatek and UVA. Duke lost by margins of 14, 20, and 18 before playing the Hokies tough last week. I think Syracuse went outright at home over Duke.
How about that? All right, for the Orange, and I had them at the beginning of the year on the national radio call of their loss to North Carolina. They were in that game before Carolina pulled away and covered in the fourth quarter of that one. All right, so a little ACC for you, and that's an early 12:30 Eastern time game on Saturday. We remind you, you can get all of Brian's picks and information through Vegas Insider, through his own site, BrianEdwardsSports.com, where he's been rolling along, but he's giving you a couple of underdogs here on Three Dog Thursday, which we love about him. I'm going to turn to one more. I did take a look at Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M as a home doggy with your Florida Gators. I don't like that one enough. I know Jimbo had a lot of success at Florida State against Florida, but I don't like this one. I was not overly impressed with their defense. I think Mullen, the head coach, has Kyle Trask firing and Kyle Pitts the tight end enough here where it's probably going to be a Florida easy win. So I'll stay away from that SEC game, Brian, but I like the Tennessee Volunteers, and I was born in the state of Tennessee, so I come by birthright to the Volunteer State, but I have no love for the Big Orange. I'm a Memphis Tiger guy, so this is not a Tennessee bias on the pick, but the Vols just stood out to me on the underdog plays against Georgia, with Georgia sandwiching this game in between the big game with Auburn last week and now looming next weekend, the matchup at Alabama. I know it's a rivalry game for both, but I wonder how much Georgia gets up at home for Tennessee. Tennessee here has the longest win streak in the country, believe it or not, now, going back to last year at 8 consecutive games in this crazy 2020. I'm getting 12.5 points, and you got a number for me that Jeremy Pruitt has been very good as a road underdog as well, Brian, for this matchup.
6-2 against the spread in 8 games as a road underdog since taking over up in Knoxville.
And how about 5 straight, if I'm looking at this correctly, 5 straight underdog covers on the road for Tennessee. And again, Georgia played very well in the first half of that game last week, and then it was a 3-3 second half between Georgia and Auburn as the teams made adjustments. Let's see. Again, this is the CBS National 3:30 SEC game in Athens for Tennessee and Georgia. I'll take the Vols and the 12.5 here on the road. We are going to talk much more on the video roundtable with my guests upcoming, Chris Fisher and Ari Russell, about the Miami-Clemson game. Brian, I don't want you to get away in the college segment without at least saying something about it. Miami gets 2 touchdowns. I'm leery about taking them as a three-dog Thursday team here as a college underdog. But just give me 15, 30, 45 seconds on Miami-Clemson national TV at Death Valley Saturday night, if you would.
Well, Clemson has just not looked overly dominant. Now, I haven't watched a ton of them. Now, I DVR'd Clemson UVA, and I did start to watch a little bit of it last night. I actually fell asleep watching it, but they never really got any big time separation from Virginia at home last week. They certainly didn't cover at Wake Forest earlier in the year. But now maybe this is the game they've been gunning for and they're ready to break out. Right now it is a pass for me. I'm going to watch some more of that Clemson Virginia. Right. Game.
Well, I can tell you they ran it well in that game. They had a huge pick six in the third quarter, which spread the margin out even bigger, forced Virginia to continue to throw. And again, it is a huge game for Miami about impact. Are we back? Are we nationally relevant? So you know they're going to be fired up. But Clemson has handled so many of these big games and so many of these opponents with Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, with Dabo Swinney at the helm. You wonder if Miami can stack up. We're going to find out Saturday night, right? We're going to see.
Yeah, and let's not forget, Clemson lost Xavier Thomas, one of their better defensive players, when he got COVID and had some complications from it. And they also, lost, they lost T. Higgins to the draft, and then they lost Justin Ross to the neck condition, back in whatever it was, July or August. So, they don't have their 2 explosive receivers from last year. And so far, it doesn't look like they're quite as potent as they have been the last few years. But we'll find out a lot more on Saturday.
We shall, and we'll talk much more on this game coming up in a little bit on the video roundtable. Brian, stand by. Great stuff. We've got much more on the way here as Three Dog Thursday rolls on. Lots more on the college football. Brian will be back to talk NFL underdog picks as well. We'll go back and forth over a couple of NFL games later on in the show. But first, let's talk about our friends at MyBookie.ag. Winning season means the NFL's in full swing, and it's your chance to win big with MyBookie.ag. There's no sweeter feeling than watching your team storm back in the fourth quarter to put a game away and put cash in your pocket, just like the Buccaneers were able to do last week, storming back from 17 down against the Chargers behind Tom Brady. So whether you're a first-time player, whether you're a veteran in the game, trying to take underdogs or siding with the favorites, the fact is there's no better time to get in the action. So join up right now and use our promo code SGP20, and you can grab a free $20 wager with your first deposit to bet on anything in the sports book. That's right, MyBookie is giving you the chance to make your first ever bet a winning one, and it's on the house. Whether it's the NFL, the Major League Baseball playoffs, whatever's going on, an NBA Finals still happening on Friday, maybe this weekend, check it all out. It's part of winning season. And again, the promo code for the $20 free bet is SGP20. Just remember, it's all with MyBookie. You bet, you win, you get paid. Promo code SGP20. We're also brought to you in part by Thrive Fantasy. Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. And with Thrive, you eliminate the countless hours of research and focus only on the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact in the game. In the NFL, you choose 10 out of the 20 available player props and build your lineup. In the NBA or PGA Tour Golf, MLB Playoffs, eSports, you choose 5 of the 10 players available, build up your lineup with the props, and go get it done. So I love a couple of props. If you're hearing us for the Thursday night games, look out for Buccaneers running back Keyshawn Vaughn, the rookie out of Vanderbilt, caught a touchdown pass last week from Tom Brady, pressed into duty because of injuries to Leonard Fournette, LeSean McCoy. So in the Thursday night game with the Bears, Keyshawn Vaughn, whatever he has in terms of total yards, catches, play the over for Keyshawn Vaughn. He's going to have a great chance to do well on a player prop. If you like another player prop from this weekend, look out for Ben Roethlisberger. I know Sean Green of the Sports Gambling Podcast doesn't want to hear this, but look out for Ben Roethlisberger, angry off of an off week against a vulnerable Eagles defense at home. I look for Roethlisberger to light it up for 3 Bills in the air and probably 2 to 3 touchdowns. Play the overs for Roethlisberger this week as well for Thrive Fantasy. And remember, you hit those props and you rack up the most points and you win your share of the prize pool. Thrive has over $50,000 in guaranteed prizes every week and has awarded over $1.6 billion in cash prizes already. Use our promo code SGP when you sign up for the first time, and you get an instant match up to $50 on that first deposit. So if you put 10 in, you get $10. You put 50 in, you get $50, up to $50. Download Thrive Fantasy at the App Store or go to the website thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today, and remember our promo code SGP. And if you've ever thought of owning your own sportsbook but you didn't know how, Ace Per Head is here to help you start it up. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated up to the second and wagers graded immediately. They've got top-notch customer service going 24/7, some of the sharpest lines in the industry, and plus, Ace Per Head also has live betting and a great mobile experience. You can get started today. Ace is offering 6 weeks free, by the way. Go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP to find out more.
The dogs are barking. Who will get it done this week? Three Dog Thursday now continues. Here again is TJ Reeves.
Oh, yes. As I mentioned, one of my faves on the podcast. I always love the inside of this man anytime, but especially when it's Oklahoma-Texas week. The Red River rivalry game cranks up again, and the legendary national championship coach of the Sooners and NFL Super Bowl winning coach with the Dallas Cowboys is Barry Switzer back with me on the Three Dog Thursday podcast. Young man, happy belated birthday. I missed it by, I think, a day as we're taping this, but happy birthday and good to hear your voice.
2 days, October 5th. This is the 7th. You missed it 2 days, but that's okay. Good to talk to you. Enjoy it, and it's been a while.
I still love the fact that when I text you or call you, you say, how about them twins? You want to know how my twin daughters are doing? And they're hanging in there, and I'm glad you're hanging in there in these COVID-19 times. And looky here, we weren't sure if we were going to get college football, but we have got it, and we've got one of the great rivalries in all of college football in Oklahoma and Texas. You coached in that rivalry some 16 times. What is this like for Oklahoma and Texas, and for those that don't understand it?
Well, first of all, this year we'll have an asterisk on it, I promise you. It's we all know what we're dealing with, from the athletic directors, the players, the coaches, the media. We don't know what we had, and we got kids that are, because of today, laying out of the game, want to go pro football, or they give it up for their own reasons, and we got kids that are not out there because of the sickness, the pandemic, and it's just the damnedest thing I've ever seen. So I'm going to put an asterisk on the season. I don't know how good any team is. They hadn't had any continuity in practice. None of the Sooners hadn't, certainly. And I don't think any of these teams are going to be at optimum of what they could have been if they hadn't had all this catastrophe happen to them.
Yeah.
But it's still OU Texas game. They'll go down there. Whoever gets on the field is going to battle their rear end off to win the game. And it is a huge game. But here's what's going to be different. usually, TJ, there's 500,000 people outside a stadium that's packed with 100,000 people because it's a Texas State Fair, the largest fair in the world. But it's no one there on the park. So there'll be plenty of parking, I promise you, down there. But it'll be kind of spooky.
It is.
Went down there.
It
would be. And so, but as far as the game, we'll get to see it. And they're only going to allow, I think, 25,000 people in the stands, a 100,000-seat stadium. And we're a 2.5-point favorite, and I don't know how we're that. But we haven't put it together yet. Someone said the other day when we were playing Iowa State that we were practicing social distancing tackling. I've never had it explained that way before, but you know, really, it's I think everyone is really.
We gotta get that together. Yeah, there's no doubt it's been odd. You don't know this, I'll tell you this here. I did a national college football game, North Carolina and Syracuse in Chapel Hill, the first weekend on national radio with nobody there. It's as bizarre as anything that I have done. At least they will have some there in the Cotton Bowl for this one. You always said to me that, you know, it's quite a scene to have half the stadium in Sooner crimson and white and half the stadium in burnt orange. It will be a little different for the players, but at least they have some roar of the crowd, something to feed off of if things start going well in this game, a little something, right?
Well, they got a little something, but we always had an advantage, even though it's half and half with, 100,000 people. We had 45, they had 45,000, so we always had the south end. That's the tunnel when you come down from the locker rooms, and all that was always red. They never flip-flopped the ends of the field. The 50-yard line north was always Texas orange, and the 50-yard line south was always red Sooner. So we always came down the ramp. We thought we were playing at home. We really did, because the crowd was louder and roared, and it was all Sooner fans there. So we gathered at the bottom, and if we gathered with the Texas team down there, they thought they were playing away. They damn sure didn't think they were playing at home.
You've told me many times you had to warn the young players and the freshmen, though, freshmen about Bevo, though, at the bottom of that tunnel. For what reason? Yeah. Say it here. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't want them coming back up stairs changing their shoes, torn, to go get a hand up, and then just walk down that ramp behind Bevo before, because that's happened. We've had kids step in the potty and have to come back and change their damn shoes.
Oh.
Especially the kickers. I want especially the kickers to miss all that.
Oh.
But, no, it's really a different spectacular event for most people to see two bands come down the ramp at the same time and big Longhorn steer come down the ramp. And we got a Sooner wagon, and it's kind of country and western than what it is. Cowboys and Indians, Oklahoma and Texas, it's kind of what the old Wild Wild West is about.
Love this man. Love his insight. Still lives on the campus in Norman as he was a national championship coach at Oklahoma for so many years. Barry Switzer with me on the Three Dog Thursday podcast here hanging out and reminiscing. I didn't know this in all of your accolades. I did look at one thing that said against Bobby Bowden, Joe Paterno, Bo Schembechler, and Earl Bruce, you never lost a game against any of those guys. That's saying something. When you reflect on all these accolades and all this stuff, what do you remember fondly, including beating Texas 10 times as you did?
Well, I never lost to Darryl either, but Darryl Wall. But, you know, I had a great run. In the 70s, we were the winningest program in college football. We had Alabama was second. We were one, and we had a great run. Coach Bryant was smart enough to do what we were doing, running the wishbone. We copied Texas. Texas was the first, and we were the second, and Alabama was the third. And when you looked at all our records during this period of time, we were the 1, 2, 3 winningest programs in the 70s because no one got the ball from us. We rushed for 400-500 yards a game, and we set the national record. We averaged 472 yards a game rushing for 11 games. I think that's a national NCAA record. No one runs the ball that much anymore. You know, spread them all over the field. They try to get people in space, and they throw the ball around. You can't recruit kids that come block anymore. None of your backs want to come block. But pro football, you got to block. You got to protect your quarterback, and that's very essential to you. But you know, it would be different to try to recruit today to buy offense. But let me tell you, TJ, I went 2 years ago to see Oklahoma play a team here in our stadium. And after the game, everyone was asking me, Coach, what happened? What happened? I said, well, hell, you watched it. I said, Army had it for 45 minutes. We had it 15. And if we hadn't had Kyler Murray, we wouldn't have won it overtime in that 15 minutes we had it. Because they kept the ball from us. They controlled it. They kept it. They kept making first downs. And they get the ball in four down zone, kick a field goal, or score. At least we kept them out of the end zone, maybe kick field goals. But, you know, it's a game of the past. But I'm going to promise you, it would still work today. We could go out and line up in that with the athletes I had at that time. And we recruited, we would win the day to them because they don't see it anymore. You got everybody else spreading everybody on the field. You see that every week. All of a sudden, you come line up. You got to line up and a 7 and 8 man front against my defense and my offense. And you hadn't even been playing that tight style of defense because you've been playing hybrids. You've had people on the field, 6 and 7 defensive backs most of the time because everyone's on one back spreads or empties,
right,
and motions, and movement. They don't have time to practice and get it ready for the triple option football.
He has lived by that wishbone for so many years, and everybody ran the wishbone back in the day, but they didn't run it as good as Oklahoma. There were very few that ran it the way that Oklahoma ran it
Great, I had great athletes. It wasn't just our playbook was better than their playbook. You know, we executed with great athletes and great speed and great players. I had so many first-round draft choices in my backfield. I had 4 at one time. And I had the 1st, the 4th, the 10th. I mean, really think about it. But really, it was a different era. And my quarterbacks were, you know, like running backs. They were different. They guys that I've only seen one guy that, you know, here at Oklahoma, I think Kyler Murray, probably, I don't know if he's physical enough to carry as much as the Jamel Holloways and Thomas Schlotz and those guys and J.C. Watts could do. But he was quick enough, and he had obviously speed to take it the distance for you. But none of the quarterbacks could have done what these guys did.
Not many did what this man did. Again, college national title, Super Bowl title with the Cowboys. Barry Switzer with me for a couple of more moments. Okay, I want to reminisce and just have fun about your surprise birthday party that we had that I got privileged to be there. We were doing national radio with Sirius XM. I was in on the surprise with your wife, Becky, and many others. You were not. You could not figure out why you couldn't have dinner at your favorite restaurant in Dallas, Bob's Chop House. Little did you know that the likes of Toby Keith, Jerry Jones, your former players, Keith Jackson, Little Joe Washington, were all waiting. I was in the background behind all of them to yell surprise. What a fun night that was, Coach.
Yeah, it was. Even Marcus Dupree shows up. So, you know, we got, that was my 70th birthday.
Yep.
That was 12, 13 years ago. And we had a great evening. And Bob, I couldn't believe that he would close down his restaurant right for OU Texas game for my group of people from Oklahoma. But of course, Oklahoma, I tell you what, all the restaurants, all the hotels, really, they would tell us, we hope Oklahoma wins. You know, they work in Texas, they live in Texas, but they want us to win because the Sooners would win, they'd stay and drink more and eat more, and they wouldn't go home.
They said, I love
regardless
it.
Where the Texas, they said, regardless where the Texans wins or loses, they go home that night right after the game. They live there. You know, they just drive down the road. People from Oklahoma, they got to go north of the Red River, and they got to travel several hours. So it's another extra night spending a lot of money, you know, and back in that era, it's a big, it's the biggest economic goal weekend in the state of Texas, the OU Texas game.
No doubt. I want the fans to find you at on Twitter at Barry_Switzer and also find the Coach's Cabana, because for this OU Texas game Saturday and even for the Cowboy games, you're hanging out in the Coach's Cabana and analyzing plays and giving running commentary, and the fans need to find that wherever they find that on their cable system. They can find it online. Look for Coach's Cabana, and you're always having fun analyzing the games, the Sooner games and the Cowboy games while they're going on.
Yeah, we do different things. Some events, sometimes we're doing that, sometimes we're not. But, you know, I still follow the Sooners and I follow the Cowboys. I'm usually doing something Saturday and Sunday, one with the other, and enjoying football season. But this year I'm going to put an asterisk on it because I'm telling you, we're going around everywhere with a face mask on. And
yep.
I've been tested 6 times, TJ.
Yep.
I've been tested 6 times because I've run into so many people that have had it or had it. That I go take a test, you know. I don't want to fight that thing, and have to, you know, have to deal with it. So not at my age.
No doubt.
But I'll handle it if I have to. Okay?
Well, and we're all saying the same thing. Wear a mask, socially distance. We will get through this, but we got to keep doing that part. And at least we have gotten to football. And I'm glad you're healthy. I'm glad I'm getting to hear your voice and you're sounding healthy and feeling good. And let's see if the Sooners, asterisks or not, can pull out a win here with the Texas Longhorns on Saturday, Coach.
We'll see. Thank you, TJ.
Coach, care, thank you. Great to hear your voice. Good luck to you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, it is our video roundtable segment time here on Three Dog Thursday. And if you're only hearing the podcast, say it all the time, come find us on the YouTube page. You see what we look like with my guests. So again, if you're only listening through Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, or if you found us through a social media link, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, come see what we look like on the YouTube page. And without delay, let me introduce my cohorts, my colleagues. There's going to be a real South Florida tinge to all of this. Even though he's in New York, my man Ari Russell, my wingman from my days at SiriusXM, TuneIn, etc., he's in New York. We're going to duke it out over the Yankees and the Rays coming up. But Coach Ari, good to have you here on the roundtable.
Technically, I'm in Edgewater, New Jersey. I don't want to anger the New Yorkers out here because there is that demarcation of the Hudson River that you really have to make clear because folks don't play around. So, and I get it, being from D.C. and Maryland, Virginia, I get that. So out of respect, I'm in Edgewater,
Currently.
Edgewater, New Jersey, currently.
You do have to notify the New York authorities when you do cross the river and come into.
Both back and forth, both sides.
Yes. Chris Fisher also with me in South Florida, you multimedia star, longtime sportscaster in Tampa Bay, in Miami. How you feeling down in South Florida?
Oh, feeling great at this point. You know, we got a big game this weekend. Canes Clemson, looking forward to that one. My hometown Buccaneers are looking pretty good. So are the Rays after the win. So it's always good to see.
Yes, there is a lot that we have to go over and discuss. And why don't we hop right into it again here on the video for those of us, for those that are seeing us right now. Let's talk right away about this showdown, the Miami Hurricanes, the Clemson Tigers. The audience might or might not know this. Ari Russell, a Miami alum. Chris, obviously in Miami, in South Florida. Okay, to you first, Ari. Your guys, I've seen them twice in person on national radio, handle Louisville and demolish Florida State.
Right.
How good do they look to you? And then second part is obviously what kind of chance against Godzilla Saturday night?
Well, obviously, I mean, if you compare what they were like last year, I mean, it's night and day on every level. You know, from the coaching to the play calling to the players out there. You know, even though – they've got a lot of the same players returning, especially on defense. Obviously, the difference, I really think the difference this year is King at quarterback. I mean, I think Miami actually has an actual steady person at center now, behind center, than they've had probably since Ken Dorsey. I mean, let's be honest with you here. I mean, if you look at it, we suffered through mediocrity at best over the years. You know, a couple flashes here. I think Brad Kaya was pretty good, but I think that King is – brings it to the next level. He's clearly a leader, and you can tell that he's already got the locker room on lock. Like, he's already got that
slightly better than Malik Rozier at this point. Just
oh, my God.
Rozier. It's Rozier.
Right.
Rozier.
Yeah.
It's also exit stage left for him. They couldn't hold the door for
Rozier,
him.
I mean, and even even Perry, Perry has tremendous amount of talent, but King just comes in there, and you can just tell he's the leader. He's a leader of the team already. You know, and Chris, you're down there, you see it probably more, you hear about it more often than I do up here. I have to, you know, kind of search, you know, scavenge the web to find things, and you down there, people talk about it all the time. Am I impressed with the difference between last year? Of course I am. As a fan, absolutely. Analyzing it in general, you have to say, objectively speaking, it's worlds better than they were last year. I mean, this is a team that lost to FIU and to Louisiana Tech, got shut out by Louisiana Tech.
Yes.
I mean, and now they beat Florida State. You know, Florida State is diminished clearly. So, I mean, I'm give or take that. I mean, to still drop half a hundred, you know, on Florida State in the rival, the biggest blowout in the history of that rivalry, regardless, Florida State is really at rock bottom right now, I think. But still, it's impressive. UAB was a good win, and they really demolished Louisville. Is also a good team. You know, now it's against, like you said, Clemson. This is a different story. I mean, you're talking about you're going up. This is like going from the Gulf Coast Instructional League to the major leagues over a weekend. You know,
okay.
All right. So now enough of Ari pontificating.
Let's pump the brakes there.
Give me the lowdown, Chris Fisher, because you're close to it about this Miami resurgence. Rhett Lashley, the new offensive coordinator. Tell me more about all of it.
That's where I was going to go with this, because as much as I like De'Ara King so far, and you got to remember, this is pretty outstanding. Kyle Trask, who's in the Heisman talk at this juncture, King's not quite there yet, but Kyle Trask was the backup to De'Ara King in high school, which really speaks highly of just the value and the presence of De'Ara King, not only in high school, but into college. Now with his second school, was at Houston, transfers over to the University of Miami, and he has been fantastic. But that's because of Rhett Lashley and what he's been able to do offensively in this up-tempo offense that really went out and stormed the gates against Florida State and Louisville and everything else. I think Dabo is going to be ready for that when they walk into Death Valley in Clemson. But here's another thing, guys. I don't think it really a lot of attention is being played to. The fact that they're playing during a pandemic, Death Valley will not be Death Valley at night. If you've ever – and TJ, I believe you've been there, but Death Valley at night is haunting. The place shakes. It's incredible when you're on the field. I don't think the Canes have to feel that fear walking in there. And I love Nesta Silvera since I've covered him in high school at American Heritage. That guy brings all sorts of nasty to that defensive line. They're going to be missing Greg Russo, who pulled out prior to the year, who's expected to be a top 10 pick. This is the game they're going to miss him the most in getting after Trevor Lawrence. But I think the Canes defense, Blake Baker is put, and Manny Diaz are coordinating a good game plan to go out and get Clemson in their house on Saturday night. Clemson is a 2-touchdown favorite at this point. I like them for 6. I wouldn't say 2 touchdowns. I think they end up covering. But this is a big game for the Canes, because I don't think it's a case – this is their biggest game in years. You can go back to the Notre Dame game, the Virginia game at Hard Rock Stadium at night.
Right.
I don't think it's – I think it's much, much bigger than that, obviously being ranked as high as they are. But I do believe that they'll be in this game. I think De'Ara King puts them in this game. Brevin Jordan could have a big game in this one. And Cameron Harris has been running like a maniac. So if they decide to slow down the clock and go ground and pound, which would be shocking with Lashley's offense. But I think the Canes cover, and I think it's not a blowout. And I think they prove something to the nation that the Canes are making their way back.
Yeah.
Voice there of Chris Fisher. If you're only hearing us, come find us on the YouTube page. Ari Russell is already here with me as well. And I promise we're going to move on off the Miami game, but it's the biggest game of the weekend. And is it not fair, quick comment from both of you, when that Miami team got into the top four of the college football playoff, as Chris was referencing, at the end of the 2017 season, they faltered quickly, and I don't think anybody, and maybe even them, really believed they were as good as Clemson, and Clemson destroyed them in the ACC championship game. I don't know if they can win Saturday night, but I have to believe, guys, they believe they are worthy of being in this game and can compete with Clemson even on the road. Ari, you first, then Chris.
Well, I definitely think they can compete, and I think it has to go. I think you could tell the confidence as Chris was, you know, alluding to, or not alluding to, but focusing on earlier, was Lashley and the way that they're executing their offense. Clearly, they're bought in. Clearly, they have the quarterback that's able to run that system pretty much to a T. You know, I mean, Lashley is dealing with a veteran adult at quarterback, you know, which is important. And and I don't think they're going to be intimidated. And I think that they're actually excited to get up for the challenge. And previous years, we've been hearing this as Canes fans for the last, decade and a half. Are we back? Are we back? And we ain't never been back. You know, we haven't been back. Again, like, it's hard to be back, you know. If we beat Clemson, yes, we can start saying, yes, they're back in the mode, because I think that they go over the hump. I think that Notre Dame victory was smoke and mirrors. I don't think that Notre Dame team was really that particularly good. I think, again, Notre Dame is just kind of being Notre Dame, often gets – always gets ranked higher just for existing, almost, in my opinion. They wiped the doors clean of them. That was great, a home game, fine. You know, rivalry, we've always had bad blood, Catholic versus the convicts. But clearly that team was deficient, you know, and Clemson just showed themselves in that ACC championship that year how the gap – I think that gap has gone a lot thinner. you know, but also because Clemson, you know, has players that graduate and have, you know, they still have a bunch of, I know they've got, you know, Lawrence and the running back, you know, and a great defense, but you know, Miami's got veterans too. And there's one player that I wanted to point out that I think is could possibly be the difference maker. And that's Bubba Bolden at the safety position, who is really showing himself to be one of the best safeties in the country, not just in the ACC, but in the country. His biggest test in his career is going to be on Saturday night against that Clemson wide receiver core. He's going to have a huge game and make big plays in order for them to win. It's that type of game. It could be a turnover here or there, and that's it.
Mr. Fisher, do they mentality-wise, you're in South Florida, do they believe they belong here and can be on the field with Clemson? What do you sense?
Okay, so if you went – Ari can speak to this and testify to this. If you went to University of Miami – they know better. They know that this team is not all the way back.
Yes.
Now, the fans of Miami, they always believe that Miami's back, okay, until they want to fire the head coach. What's crazy about Miami and South Florida is this is a Canes town. We have four pro sports teams, but it is a Canes town. The Dolphins take a back seat to the Canes when they're good. The Heat will take a back seat to the Canes when they're good. This game could put them over the hump. My dishes were very excited about that. But
okay,
they will put them over the hump and be back on the front page where Canes fans expect them to be if they're able to win Saturday night. And I agree with your assessment of Bubba Bolden. Look for Phillips. The guys from the transfer portal Manny Diaz has grabbed over the last 2 years, this is the biggest game they've played since they've been five-star recruits coming out of high school, and it's really going to be an interesting one.
All right. We've done enough on Miami and Clemson, and as you can tell, both guys,
I'm kind of
in agreement here. Of course, we're almost three Musketeers, and then watch Clemson win the game by 30 because they've been doing this to everybody. But Miami, on both sides of the ball, stacks up well enough if they don't make mistakes to stay in the game. I don't know that they win the game, but to stay in the game against Lawrence and company, we will see, and it's obviously a big national television game as well. All right. For those that are seeing us on the YouTube page, I'm in the Rays hat for this segment just to needle Ari Russell here a little bit because we got the Rays and the Yankees that are ongoing in the divisional series of the American League playoffs. First of all, it is an absolute joke that the Rays and the Yankees are playing in San Diego, California. It's ridiculous in and of itself. We're seeing a highlight on the video here of Manuel Margot hitting a home run. Last night, home runs were flying out at the time that we're taping in the Tuesday night game two. Wednesday night is game three. We obviously don't know that result. The series will not be over by the time this podcast is out because somebody's got to win three times. So that may be coming Thursday night for whoever it is. All right, Ari, Yankees, Rays, give me a few moments on this now that the Rays evened it up at a game apiece.
Well, first off, I think Aaron Boone handed a beautiful gift to the Tampa Rays here, and I just don't understand, and I understand they kind of took it from the Tampa Bay ideology of having a game opener or whatever the heck that is. It's just something that I just don't quite understand, especially in playoff baseball. It's just very strange. It's you throw. I just don't understand. It doesn't fit the. I can understand during the regular season for kind of getting people in motion and getting people to understand the energy to start. But for playoff baseball, which is a completely different monster, putting in the starter and just let Garcia pitch, you know, or let Hat pitch, make a decision on someone and go from there and live or die by it. And in this case, it just seems like, you know, Garcia came in there. He got out of the first inning and he basically was able to, and then Hap comes in there and, you know, people, Yankee fans are complaining about the strike zone, blase, blah. Look, he gave up big taters to Tampa. And, you know, in moments that was really just.
How about the fact, just if I can interject, Hap didn't even really know what they were doing till like 2 hours before the game. So that's a bit strange too, to your point about Boone kind of making it up as he goes along. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you heard some of the post game by Hap, you could tell that that Hap was definitely, you know, holding back, I think, on some of the – he was trying to basically cover his manager's rear end. I don't know if you guys saw that because, you know, Dan, but here we get the local feed, so we see Hap, and I'm sure they probably put it on national TV as well. But, you know, he was definitely doing a really good job, as veterans do, of protecting the manager's rear end there. but you could kind of sense in him that he just was a little confused himself. Like, you know, look, you guys are a great squad. You guys are the number one seed in this weird kind of bizarro playoff scenario we have in 2020, in a weird bizarro kind of universe we're all living in. It was just bizarre in general. And, you know, I get it, pitching staffs and whatever, trying to with five games in a row, which is another weird playoff scenario. But, you know, I think Aaron Boone handed you guys a gift, and you guys opened it and took advantage of it, and you're a great team.
It's a game apiece. Chris Fisher, you were not along with me about why is this in San Diego? It's crazy to me.
Well, then
the teams are only there for the one series, and then let's move them to Texas. If the whole idea was to keep it sanitary or a bubble, send everybody to one place and play the games in one place. Would make a lot more
like
sense. But anyway, Chris, I'm stealing thunder. Go ahead. Give me your thoughts.
No, I mean,
I like that idea.
Like the World Baseball Classic, which we've had here in Miami, which is just amazing. And then to speak to Ari's point, TJ, I hate to say it. You know I'm from Tampa Bay. And if the Yankees were to play a playoff game in what I still call the Thunderdome, but in Tropicana Field.
Right.
It would be a Yankee home game. And that's the problem. Even with the Rays in the playoffs, I love my hometown. There would be a lot more support, but it would feel like a Yankee playoff game. We've seen it there over the years, even the Red Sox were there a couple of years ago. But with that being said, I love the fact of what Tampa Bay is doing. I love that Aaron Boone tried to take a page out of Tampa Bay's book last night. I've always been a fan of Jay Happ when he pitched for the Phillies, but he had to hold back, and I don't want to belabor that point, but I just find this whole series fascinating. When you're talking about the payroll dynamic of these two clubs and the analytics, let's be honest. Aaron Boone is about as good of a manager as us sitting on the couch, because Brian Cashman is telling him who to put out there, and the analytics department is telling him who to put out there as a starting pitcher. So obviously Jay Happ didn't come through on their spreadsheet as the guy to face that Rays lineup last night. Also, I think with the scare factor with Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge and Sanchez and all these guys – that this little team in Tampa Bay could beat the juggernaut Yankees, that has to fright the hell out of Yankee fans, Brian Cashman, the Steinbrenner's ownership group, the smaller payroll team coming up, and it's been a perpetual storyline for years, like the Oakland A's, these smaller teams beating the juggernauts. But with the New York City tabloids and all the different papers up there, that's really going to just kill the Yankees front office if the Rays are able to pull this off and knock them off. And I do like the Rays in this series because I think there's a fear factor here. Giancarlo Stanton's hitting the hell out of the ball. I've seen that firsthand when he was on a tear here in Miami, and he doesn't cool off for a while when that seemingly happens. But rolling out Charlie Morton in game three, I think that is going to be a huge benefit for the Rays against Tanaka. I expect them to be up 2-1 in this series. I expect them to win it in a full stretch. And it's going to go the distance this series, I believe.
Interesting.
But I think that the Rays end up winning it just because they play proper baseball. If they got to put down a bunt, although it goes against analytics, they'll put down a bunt. The Yankees are a straight-up swing trajectory team that's told with Sanchez. And as much as he strikes out, Giancarlo has that same problem. So when he's cold, but right now he's seeing the ball so well. and like even with Fairbanks struggling last night in the ninth, when the Yankees seemingly could have came back with all that power, but he blew him away and he was able to get out of it. I think the Rays bullpen is going to be their savior, and I think they end up moving on in this series.
Okay.
I can't disagree with what Krabby, like, honestly, it's the Rays have that scrappy lineup that just I'm with you. Like, I'm not a big fan of this analytics stuff. I just think that at the end of the day, it's overthinking. It's the play on the field and the moment of the, you know, pitch by pitch, and not, you know, the spreadsheets and the sabermetrics or whatever it is. At the end of the day, players have to play and they have to show up. And the Rays, I mean, like, I was impressed last night. Because that game one was really – that was a tough loss. They took it on the chin. They came back and turned around, you know, last night. Granted, you know, we'll see to me, I agree. Boone to me is really going to, like, if the Yankees lose this series, I can't see Boone surviving. I mean, granted, it's hard to, because, you know, welcome to your worlds, right?
Welcome to New York.
I hate this. I'm, yeah. being a Philadelphia fan and seeing that Rocky Balboa poster, him against the world, that's what the Rams are. They have felt that way for a long time.
Wait. Pan that camera a little over your right shoulder just so we get a better look. There's Rocky right there.
And Philadelphia honestly, born. That, there we you go. Know beautiful. What? Once it's all wrapped up, this series, I expect you to go put Kevin Cash over Rocky's head with his
feet in the air. And the other thing, and again, we'll move along here, but we're talking a little baseball with Chris Fisher and Ari Russell. Again, if you're only hearing us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or however you found the show, the audio version of the podcast, come find the YouTube version and see what we look like with the moving pictures on all of this. But we're talking in the aftermath of game two. Game three is being played before the podcast is out. So you, the audience, already know what happened in game three. We don't know. And I am predicting there will be fireworks of hit batsmen, dust up. Watch it happen. There's bad blood between these two teams. It may not be game three. It may be game three. It may be game four. Let's see what happens between these two teams.
Stanton is definitely getting plunked.
Stanton has been doing some posing, and they may do it to him. If it was me personally, I would not do it to Aaron Judge, who's built like a defensive tackle, so it would not be him that I would be hitting. But let's see what happens, because Chapman was throwing at the head of some Rays at Yankee Stadium earlier back in August. So there's still bad blood between these two teams and a lot to watch on that. While we have a moment, you know, I'm always pimping Ari Russell's Smack Apparel and my guys at Smack Apparel. So I've got the Rays hat on, but I've got the Smack Apparel shirt. If you're a Rays fan, that if I don't often hate, but if I do, I prefer to hate the Yankees and the Red Sox from our friends at Smack Apparel. So you can get great Smack Apparel merchandise, just like what I've got on here. Go to smackapparel.com. Get in the face of your opponent, your biggest rival. Make fun of them. Smackapparel.com. Buy it through the site. Use the promo code. 2020 BOGO. 2020 BOGO is the promo code. That means you buy one, you get one 50% off. So 2020 BOGO is the promo code that still works on any of their stuff. They've got the socially distancing Aaron Judge home run shirt you can get. He's been socially distancing home run balls since 2016. So whatever it is, football, baseball, the Lightning Stanley Cup playoff shirts, it is 2020 BOGO for 2020 the year, and buy one, get one 50% off for smackapparel.com. So I get in a little plug there with that. All right, couple more subjects. I promised these guys we would get out of here fairly quickly. Let's go back to the NFL. Chris and Ari, you know this. I am associated with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their radio broadcast, and have been for the better part of 15 years with the Hall of Famer Gene Deckerhoff on the call. And lo and behold, looky here, the Bucs have won three in a row, and Tom Brady is the offensive player of the week in the NFC. Now, again, at the time that we're taping and Three Dog Thursday is released, Buccaneers-Bears Thursday night, Soldier Field, Fox and the NFL Network will televise it all over the country. So we add that to the mix of the baseball playoffs, of the college football. We've got Bucs and Bears kicking off the NFL weekend. Brady, 5 touchdown passes to 5 different receivers last week. And suddenly the national media changing its tune. I'm saying this after the loss to the Saints in week one. Brady looks much better. The Bucs have won 3 in a row. But that's me saying that. Chris, let's go to you first. What about Brady and the Buccaneers as they've completed one quarter of the season?
Well, I'd have to be impressed with the fact that they seemingly are a second-half team. And a lot of teams that are able to come back like that really show a lot of poise. And I think that speaks to the leadership of Tom Brady and guys like Gronk, Shady McCoy, some of the veteran leadership that resides on that offense. But as they go along here, I expect their offense actually to get better. As you know, working within Byron Leftwich's offense, you know, it's going to take time for Tom to get things down. He doesn't have his normal players. Him and Gronk seemingly aren't on the same page as of yet like they used to be. And then the big thing I always wondered about was Gronk, as much time as he spent away from the game taking that year off, was he always there because he was injured? Like, how much back is he to what he was years ago? And I think that's drastically dropped off. But I like where the offense is at. It'd be nice to get Chris Godwin back, Mike Evans healthy, some of those players. And then going, you know, playing the Bears this week, I mean, they're in shambles. Nick Foles, he's great off the bench, and I'm an Eagles fan. And I love Nick Foles, obviously. But the fact that he's just unable to be a starter and he struggles in that role, the Bears are really spinning their wheels right now, despite that comeback 2 weeks ago. Foles showed he was unable to do it last weekend. I like the Bucs going into this matchup, and I, honestly believe that, you know, it sets things up, because if they do it in a shortened week, then they're going to be able to get it all together in a week and a half before their next game. I think Brady's going to be fine there. I think they're going to end up winning the NFC South.
Well, and just one quick note on the schedule. It's going to get much tougher after the Bears, because after that 10-day layoff, it's the Packers at home, go to Vegas and play the Raiders, which won't be easy. Then the likes of, oh, by the way, Mahomes in Kansas City, if all things are equal. Saints in a rematch on a Sunday night. Rams on a Monday night. All right, Buccaneers coming to New York to play the Giants in the middle of that on Monday Night Football. That might be the easiest game, though, out of a whole group, an onslaught of games that are going to be much tougher right now for the Bucs to try to figure this out. Again, Ari, you're at a distance here. Give me a thought on Brady and the Bucs and a work in progress just real quick.
Well, luckily, since we had a Thursday night Jets game, we weren't in the New York area. We weren't plagued with having both the Jets and Giants on Sunday. So we had a chance to watch the Tampa Bay game. So I got a chance to watch, you know, I saw the first game also. It was on here, mm-hmm. too. You know, and I was impressed. I really thought that it's starting to click. You're starting to see it. You know, it's getting there. You know, it's a work in progress. But I think that it's a work in progress in a good way. And, you know, this is a good team. You know, Brady is clearly doesn't need Belichick. You can see that, you know, this last game is Brady looked like he was 33 again, and he looked great. You know, he was hitting receivers in stride. You know, I really like your running game a lot. You know, I like what you have going on there too for right now, even though everyone's injured, it seems. But, you know, I agree. I agree with Chris. I think that they have a really good chance of winning the South here. You know, granted, it's a good year to win the South, I think. But I think it's looking pretty good, even though their schedule is tough.
It's them and the Saints.
The Falcons is are coming. Just a mess.
And the Panthers have a first-year coaching staff. Yes.
Right, and I don't think the Saints are as good as they have been in the past. They clearly haven't been playing as well. And they're usually a second-half team anyway. But, I mean, I just think, like, look, yeah, I really like Arians as a head coach. And, you know, I'm as a D.C. guy, Leftwich is – we love Byron Leftwich because he's a D.C. public school kid. He went to H.D. Woodson. Like, we love Leftwich, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and so we want to see him succeed. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on with you guys. And I think it's a good year. And who knows? The NFC is pretty weak. You know, obviously you got one division that might as well get relegated to the Canadian Football League at this point.
Come on now.
I'm a Giants fan, so.
Oh, that's like, right.
So you're talking.
The Giants, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Redskins, are they combined going to get to 20 wins this season?
I think the winner of that division is going to have 6 wins.
Might. It's not pretty there for the NFC. We've got a scoot here in a moment or two. Hey, Chris, just a quick comment from you. Ryan Fitzpatrick still playing for the Dolphins. Dolphins slated to play the 49ers this weekend. How long before we see Tua, the number one pick out of Alabama, so much hype around him? How long will they wait? What are you hearing? What do you think? Just real quick.
Well, Brian Flores said on Wednesday morning that Tua is not ready yet. And he's always been a proponent of sticking with a veteran. We saw it last season when it came to Josh Rosen. I know Tua is a completely different quarterback than Rosen. But the big pressure really now becomes, it's not just the local media that is pressing for Tua to get gameplay. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions so far going into the showdown against the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers favored in some books by 8.5, off the board in some of the other ones. But I think he's going to stick with Fitzpatrick at least through the bye week to see where it goes. The Dolph fans, as they like to call them, it's like they have a shiny new gift on Christmas or Hanukkah. They want to play with it, with Tua. You know, that's what Tua is to them. But if and Flores has pretty much come out and said this, if you're Tagovailoa's family, do you want him playing this season coming off the hip injury? I sure wouldn't. I know it doesn't come down to his family, but I think the Dolphins don't want him playing this season to protect and give him more time to heal.
Hasn't he been cleared to play?
Yes.
I mean, yes, they don't want him to play at all.
Right. So here's the thing. They want the insurance. He's having a red shirt year is the way I look at it. And that's the way I would have approached it from the beginning. This is, it's not Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers waiting to play behind him kind of situation. It's Fitzpatrick. But the Dolphins aren't going anywhere. They're 1-3 right now. Okay, they're not going to win the division. That expectation's out the window, even though Brian Flores won't admit it. I would prepare for the future. If I'm Chris Greer, the general manager, I'm just like, look, let him practice. Let him sit there with the clipboard. Let him learn. But don't let him play unless Fitzpatrick's injured. And that's the only way I'd play.
I disagree. Sooner or later, you got to play him. And if he's not healthy enough to play at all,
because it works so well for Jameis Winston. It works so well for him, TJ.
Well, I
did that game on the sideline with Marcus Mariota and Winston. And I got to tell you, both even showed right away that they weren't ready. Give Tagovailoa some time. Let him learn the system. Remember, they brought in Chan Gailey as a first-year offensive coordinator. Let him get used to it. I understand Nick Saban loves this kid, but just let him get used to the situation.
I can understand if there's a legitimate medical reason why you would say, hey, that's a real risk. But from what I understood, he's cleared to try it. And at some point, if you're 1-5, if you're 2-7, you have to try it. They're going to go out of their mind if they don't play him if they're that bad later in the year, November, December.
I completely we'll agree. They're going to win right. more games, but I do want to say this. It's a liability behind that offensive line.
That may be the case too. Okay, we've got to scoot here in a moment or two. Let me promote these guys as well. You can find Chris Fisher on social media, ChrisFisher07. There he is, speaking of doing sideline work for CBS, as he has in the past. He's been down in South Florida as a sportscaster, Tampa Bay area, also in Pennsylvania. ChrisFisher07 to follow him. Follow my man Ari Russell, at Ari Russell on social media, on Twitter, and also on Facebook. I want to say congratulations to Ari and his girlfriend, and there is the baby, and the baby's name, for the record, in the Yankee raised rivalry, the baby's first name is
Bronx.
Bronx is the baby's name, which I love.
That's awesome.
I love baby so Bronx.
Yeah.
I love that. So congratulations, Ari, on the baby. And by the way, I wanted to try to tell the story here. One of the craziest nights that Ari and I have ever had, because we had Barry Switzer on earlier on the podcast, OU in Texas this weekend. And Ari, I cannot believe it was 13 years ago that we were at Barry Switzer's surprise 70th birthday party in Dallas the night before the OU Texas game. He was doing work with us on Sirius XM. His wife, Becky, surprised him. We were hanging there. I'm going to share the screen. We were hanging out with the likes, you're going to see it here, of Toby Keith, of Jerry Jones, his former players, Little Joe Washington, Keith Jackson. You and I were standing next to Toby Keith at the bar, at the restaurant mm-hmm. where the surprise party was, talking to Toby Keith about playing tunes and watching the Yankees playoff baseball game. It's Ari, yeah. me, and TK.
That was a Cleveland game where they had like those locust plagues that came in. And
It was the Jabba Chamberlain game against the Indians, right, where all that happened. But there's nothing like iconic images like this. There he is, Barry Switzer, the OU Texas game, coming out of the tunnel at the Cotton Bowl. There'll be no fans there for this game on Saturday, or at least limited fans, if that's the case. But love Barry Switzer, and what a wild night to be at his surprise
party. I'm still hungover from that, by the way.
That was some kind of night. We're standing there, Chris. I'm not just pimping away here on wearing more important than everybody else. But you feel about this big when you're standing around Barry Switzer, Toby Keith's right here, and then right over on the side of the bar, Jerry Jones is talking to Clay Bennett, the multi-billion-dollar owner of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Who didn't belong in that circle between Ari and me while all that
was going on?
But it
was some of the Super Bowl parties, fun. I felt the same way this year. Could not believe it.
When you were around the Super Bowl parties back in February in Miami, I bet. A lot of fun with that. Again, find Chris on social media at ChrisFisher07. Find Ari Russell at Ari Russell on social media as well. Guys, I had fun on the YouTube roundtable. Good luck to the Hurricanes, Coach Ari, for this matchup here with Clemson. We'll see how they do. Chris, keep knocking them dead. South Florida, and with the sports broadcasting that you're doing, thank you guys here on Three Dog Thursday.
Take care, TJ. Thank you.
Some great stuff from them. Brian Edwards rejoins me to talk more NFL straight ahead as the podcast rolls on. Yes, indeed. One more time, back in our final segment with Brian Edwards of BrianEdwardsSports.com and also Vegas Insider. We should mention, as Brian comes in to talk some NFL football, what are you now, 10-3-1 or 10-2-1 over the last 2 weeks in the NFL on all your picks, not just underdogs, correct?
Right. No, it's actually better. It's 10-2-1. I was 7-0 2 weeks ago. And then thanks to your Bucks rallying and getting me a push, I went 3-2-1 last week. And I will take it because I basically chalked that Bucks game up as an L. So I felt fortunate to be above 500. But 10-2-1 the last 2 weeks official plays on Vegas Insider and BrianEdwardsSports.com in the NFL.
How about that? All right, so I got to stand up for my Buccaneers a little bit. I got to tell you this. I was working the game last week on Buccaneers Radio with the legendary Gene Deckerhoff on the calls. Yes, it was 24-7. Yes, the Chargers, idiotically, I'll use that word, tried to hand off inside their own five-yard line in the final 45 yes. seconds of the first half. That fumble changed the momentum, got the Bucs a quick touchdown. But I still, with a whole half to play, I know it's easy for me to say, it's easy for fans, it's easy for the media to say, I felt confident Brady is going to get you back in this game, if not win this game. I felt that way going into halftime. And sure enough, he diced up the Chargers for much of the second half. He was just named on Wednesday the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. And he silenced, at least for 1 week, a lot of people saying he can't make the throws anymore because, Brian, he was making throws all over the place in the comeback win 38-31. Buccaneers will now play on Three Dog Thursday as the podcast is debuting. You may already know after Thursday how they did in the game with the Chicago Bears Thursday night in Soldier Field. Nick Foles expected to start. Foles did not play particularly well in the game with the Colts. Might they play Trubisky if Foles struggles? Might Trubisky come off the bench? We'll see. Brian, I will say for you and for the audience in advance of this game, Buccaneers very banged up at wide receiver. Chris Godwin has already been ruled out again with the hamstring injury. Mike Evans, questionable to play, ankle injury, played through it last Sunday. LeSean McCoy will not play at running back. Leonard Fournette, questionable to play. Buccaneers depleted. They put O.J. Howard, the tight end, on injured reserve with an Achilles injury late in that game. They're depleted. They're depleted at pass catchers. Let's see. And I know you noticed on Wednesday afternoon that the line had already come down at least a point right now for the Bears as an underdog at home, that the Bucs now only favored by 3.5. We'll see if the Bucs can gut this one out, but my friend, they're clearly banged up right now at receiver. I don't know if you can run a pass route. Can you get on a plane, get to Chicago, and run a pass route for Tom Brady if need be?
10 years ago, I had 10 snaps for him, but right now, no. But, yeah, look, the Bucs rallying last week, that was big time. At least they get a Bears offense that's struggling mightily unless it's the second half against the Atlanta Falcons. But, you know, on the road on a short week, that always tends to make me want to originally lean to the home team. So right now, I don't know that I have much interest in that game.
You do say to everybody, and you love Keyshawn Vaughn, the former Vanderbilt running back, as maybe fantasy football and otherwise. Keyshawn Vaughn may get a good look here. Spelling Ronald Jones, who ran for 100 yards last week. So again, if you're watching Thursday Night Football, this is a rookie out of Vanderbilt. And Brian, how about this for an all-time moment and trivia question? Your first catch in the NFL comes from Tom Brady, oh, by the way, on a touchdown that wins the game in the fourth quarter against the Chargers. I mean, you can't tell a fishtail and make it up better than that, can you, for Keyshawn Vaughn, the rookie running back? And we may see a lot of him on Thursday night. Who knows?
And that's why I spoke so highly of Keyshawn Vaughn, you know, in the days after, before and after the draft, because Brady loves to throw to his running backs, and he's very good at catching the ball out of the backfield. And by the way, that was a bullet that Brady threw him, and, yep, and was a nice grab and then took his momentum into the end zone. So yeah, I hope Keyshawn gets some touches and they give him some room to operate. I think he'll produce.
All right, we'll see if that is the case Thursday. And again, if you're listening to us after Thursday, and a lot of people do, on Friday and Saturday we keep promoting the show. You may already know that the Bucs were fantastic or not so good or beat up or the Bears upset them. I'm hoping it's 4 in a row for my Buccaneers after an 0-1 start. Let's see what happens on Thursday. Let's move to the Sunday slate again of games. And what is this I see? What do I sense? I sense welcome to the jungle in Cincinnati. I see welcome to the jungle 2020 Joe Burrow. You're still on the Bengal bandwagon here. They're an underdog again this week with the Baltimore Ravens. Early Sunday 1 Eastern time game in Baltimore. Are you going right back there again?
And why not? As I noted a few weeks back, Joe Burrow is already a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. You told me to slow down. And the Chris on the Chris Vernon show in Memphis, I got my absolute head ripped off by Chris Vernon and John Roser for implying such a thing. But here we go. 3 weeks in a row, 300 yards passing, the first, if I heard that correctly on Showtime's Inside the NFL last night, I think I heard him correctly. I think they said it's the first rookie to ever throw 300 yards passing in a row, three straight games.
The first 3 games of your career. Oh. Correct. Yes, that's correct. And that's okay. What he did. You're absolutely right.
Right. So 17-8 against the spread, the Bengals are in their last 25 as a road underdog. If you got a good line like I did in week one against the Chargers, you pushed that game. I have bet on the Bengals every single week this year, and I'm 3-0-1 against the spread doing so. They're catching 13 at Baltimore. I made the line 10. Geno Atkins might be back this week. The 8-time Pro Bowler has missed the first 4 games, and if he does make it back, that will help their run defense, which has been an issue, as we saw certainly in that Thursday night game against Cleveland. But Joe Burrow will keep the Bengals in the game. Joe Mixon had a big game, 3 touchdowns on Sunday against the Jags. And the Bengals are 1-2-1 straight up. And for me, they are 3-0-1 against the spread.
All right, very good. So he goes with Cincinnati as an NFL underdog in our remaining moments here on Three Dog Thursday. I don't like a lot of underdogs on the slate for this week. I'm just being honest. If I'm obligated to take one, which I am, Cleveland as the home underdog after the great win, the wild win against the Dallas Cowboys, playing an Indianapolis team that has basically been a solid, muck-it-up, play-defense, low-scoring team throughout this season. I like Cleveland with that explosiveness. If I've got to be pinned down to one, it's going to be that one. I was looking at the Chargers getting 7 or 8 points against the Saints in New Orleans. Again, we don't know with Hurricane Delta. You may know this. We're taping midweek for Three Dog Thursday. Might they have to move that game? Brian and I don't know that. Might they move it to another location? The Chargers, again, stayed, obviously, in the Eastern time zone after playing the Bucs and waiting to play the Saints. They didn't go back to L.A. Justin Herbert looked good to me field level, but I'm going to stay away for that one. I'll go back to Cleveland with Baker Mayfield, the Heisman winner, with OBJ, with Jarvis Landry, with the weapons against Indianapolis. I'll take that 1.5. I think Cleveland can win that game. That will be my underdog play here for Three Dog Thursday purposes. Brian, did you have anything else to add in the NFL? I know your Falcons are struggling mightily. Dan Quinn still has a gig here midweek, at least Arthur Blank standing by him as they host Carolina early on Sunday. Anything else from the NFL that stands out, whether it's Quinn, the Falcons, or anything else?
Yeah, so I haven't pulled the trigger quite yet as the line sits at 9.5 right now. But do the Cowgirls deserve to be a 9.5-point favorite over anybody right now? I'm not so sure. The Giants defense is playing really good. The Rams offense had just been churning along this year, scoring 37 at Philly and 32 at Buffalo. And then the Giants hold them to 17, and the Giants had plenty of offensive opportunities last week, but just could not. They need to get the ball to my boy Caden Smith way more often. The Giants offense has been an unmitigated disaster, but they're facing a porous Dallas defense that might be worse than my Atlanta defense. I'm keeping my eye on the Giants. If it gets the double digits, I'll probably be dipping in for a little taste of that.
I must jokingly say the most fight the Giants showed was the Golden Tate Jalen Ramsey fight after the game was over with. They should have fought like that figuratively and literally throughout the game with the Rams. You are aware Saquon Barkley is lost for the year with the knee injury, I'm sarcastically saying. I mean, they just don't have enough offensive punch here, but you think Dallas's defense is bad enough that the Giants can hang in there and getting the 9.5 or 10 might be worthwhile. You're saying keep an eye on it, and I'll segue it. You will pick it officially, yay or nay, on BrianEdwardsSports.com or Vegas Insider. They will see whether that pops up there or not as one of your plays later in the weekend, right?
This is correct, as I take a 10-2-1 run in the NFL into this week's action. Yep, you can find those picks, BrianEdwardsSports.com or VegasInsider.com, and you can follow my in-game suggestions on my Twitter handle at Vegas B. Edwards. And after some tech issues that have been going on, we think we've got everything fixed at MajorWager.com, and you can follow Major Wager, Twitter account at Major Wager Uno, and starting to get some fresh content back up there. And by the weekend, should be back to normal at MajorWager.com as well.
Love that. Again, I love this man's insight. Going with the different underdogs, he loves Burrow and the Bengals here. You are aware they're playing Lamar Jackson in that game on the road.
Quite aware.
You're very aware.
Quite aware. Quarterback advantage to the Bengals.
Oh, listen to you. Now I'm going to take your head off on that one, quarterback advantage to the Bengals. As Lamar Jackson becomes the first quarterback in the history of the league, what is it, with 2,500 or more passing yards and 1,000 more rushing yards inside of three full seasons in the NFL. It's pretty incredible what he's been putting up so far in his career. All right, so in any event, those are the NFL games for this weekend. Again, we always love the insight. Follow him at Vegas B. Edwards. You always close the show. Brian, have a great weekend. Good luck with all of your picks. We appreciate the knowledge here on Three Dog Thursday.
Thanks, CJ. Enjoyed it as always. Best of luck to you and your listeners with your wagers. Let's cast some winners.
Let's hope that we are able to do so. My thanks also to the legendary coach Barry Switzer, talking Texas and his OU Sooners. Our roundtable had Chris Fisher and Ari Russell on it. That's on the YouTube page. You can go find us on YouTube with the Three Dog Thursday Roundtable. Also, subscribe to this show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc., here for Three Dog Thursday. For Brian Edwards, I'm TJ Reeves. Good luck with your underdogs, and keep it locked in on the only digital radio show devoted to those doggies in college and the NFL. Three Dog Thursday. Bye.